at the feet of you who's crowned. Take my life, letting go. I left it out to you who's soul. And I will worship.
You, Lord God, we thank you. God, we just thank you for your love, your forgiveness, the power in the name of Jesus, the power in the blood of Jesus. Lord, we are thankful today. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, that you, Lord, you lay hold on us. Even if our father and our mother forsake us, you lay hold upon us. You take us up, Lord, because you're merciful, and we thank you for that. And, Lord, we just come today in Jesus' name, and we ask you, Lord, to move in this place. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. We want to welcome everyone to Fire and Grace Church this morning. I know some of them held out because they're coming to Skyfall in just a few days. I can't believe the conference is this week. I don't have one message or presentation prepared yet, so it's going to be an exciting week for me. but God is good, and we depend on the presence of God and the Spirit of God. You know, today, this is another one of those days that I've just been in a strange place the last week. I don't know if you could say I've been a bit emotional, or it's just the Spirit of God moving on me. But I've been getting all these testimonies from people from all over the world. I just got one from Ireland, and got another one I read last night, and one this past week. They just put me in tears, and you just got to realize that there's a lot of people out there that we have no idea what they have gone through and suffered. That's why, another reason, you know, I've been talking the last few weeks about the importance of believers being led by the Holy Spirit, and I won't name the name. There's someone coming to Skyfall, but she shared her testimony with me of what her and her brother went through in their lives, and I'm going to share this story. I'm not going to go into all the details. Again, I'm not going to name the name unless later on maybe she wants to share that, but, you know, her mother and stepdad were torturers, drug addicts, didn't feed them, would go and to their drug houses and leave them outside all night. They said they spent many nights out in the cold. They didn't know what church was. They didn't know anything about God. They didn't know about Jesus. But they were abused physically in every way imaginable, these kids. And but she talked about how she would, you know, when her parents would be completely passed out from their drug and drinking binge of the weekend, and how her and her little brother, that was the only time they could come out and turn the TV on and watch. And they said that was Sunday mornings, and there would always be church on. And said they would feel this peace come over them. And they didn't know what church was. And then finally, there was such a bad beating of her brother that she finally told her teacher everything. They were covered in bruises and beaten and, you know, malnourished. And so finally they were taken and they were adopted. You know, they went into the DHR, to the Child Protective Services, and then they were adopted. At least, praise God, they were adopted by a decent couple. And she said the best thing about being adopted by them was that they got to go to church, and said that when they'd walk in church, that was the only time they had peace. And then said that they would just cry, just walking in the church. And they knew by then to call out on the name of Jesus. And then they got so on fire for Jesus that their lukewarm adopted parents began to try to put the fire out. And this is what's so bad about, again, believers not being led by the Spirit of God and being lukewarm, because those little ones were so hurt and wounded and needing encouragement and reassurement and not to be, you know, held back. And boy, I think about the scripture, it says what Jesus said, woe be to those who offend one of these little ones, cause one of these little ones to stumble. And that cast these two children at the time, getting into their adolescent years, that cast them into this just deep depression and anger, and they turned away from church, and they turned away from God, and just it just went downhill from there. Drugs and prison terms and jail but she said, and listen to this, this is so powerful, that, you know, she got grown, and her husband was the same way. He was on drugs and doing all this stuff, and one night he would go into these demonic fits of rage, and he destroyed all of her clothes. Now, this is a weird thing. I guess it's just demonic, right? So he destroyed all of her clothes. But she said she had a next-door neighbor who was a Pentecostal, spirit-filled lady. And she said that next morning after her demonic fit of husband rage destroyed all of her clothes, that this lady knocking on her door. And she said, I didn't have anything to answer. I had to just answer the door in my underwear. She said, I literally had no clothes. So the lady, the Christian lady, says, well, would you come over into my apartment? And she's thinking, yeah, you freak, I guess I will walk over to your apartment in my underwear, right? She said there were two other Christian ladies in there and said, the Lord told us this week to buy you all these clothes, and they brought out all these new outfits. Already bought and paid for, even before all of her clothes. She said the Spirit of God hit her so hard, she just sat there and wept and cried. But, folks, this is what I want to say. We have got to be a people who are led by the Spirit of God. Because some people need a strong word at a certain time, and others need a very loving word at a certain time. It's not either or. It's which one does that person need? And sometimes it's the simple things. God tells you to go out and buy somebody a pair of shoes. Sounds weird, right? But it may change that person's entire life. It may save them from suicide. I listened to a testimony this week of a woman who was raped as a young, you know, probably 12-year-old girl. And she was going to commit suicide. And if it hadn't been for Christians reaching out to her and ministering to her, she would have. This is the world we live in. You know, I have to tell y'all sometimes, I tell the Lord, I say, I don't like this world too much. Especially when you start really digging into what's going on, what's really going on. I mean, it's hard to fathom 500,000 children go missing every year. And we know what's happening to them. And yes, it's not just sex trafficking, it's satanic ritualistic abuse and sacrifices to the devil and demons. We live in a dark, twisted, evil world. But I want to say this. The power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of his name, the power of his shed blood, the power of his resurrection, the power of his word in this book called the Bible, just speaking it, just sharing it, just teaching some child they can call on his name. Something simple. You never know. This is why. Listen, folks, we have got to be people who fast, who pray for one thing, not just that we can draw near to the Lord, but so that we can draw near to the Lord, so we can hear his voice, so we can help somebody else. You just don't know. You just don't know. You know, a few years ago, I've shared this before, but this was years back, probably 2014 or 15. But I remember this is even before we were broadcasting. So this was just in our little group of about 30 or 40. And, you know, sometimes we have more than that. Sometimes we have less than that. But we were meeting at your house, Cherie. We were still meeting in a home. And I was full that morning. I remember that. And but I remember at the end of the service, the Lord telling me that someone in there was contemplating suicide. And I even knew where they were sitting about. I knew it was like back over here somewhere. But the Holy Spirit told me to address that. Now, let me tell you, in a small group, when you're not broadcasting to thousands of people, you better know you're hearing God on that, right? I was shocked at the person, and they're no longer here. They moved away, but I was shocked at the person who actually came up and admitted that. I would have never, in the natural, looked at them and went, they're struggling with that. I would have never, if you would have said, line everybody up and pick the one that struggled, I would never picked that person. And we got to talk and we got to pray. And that's how serious this stuff is. It's life and death sometimes if we do what we should do or we don't do what we should do. I want to show you this. Let's go to the book of Jude Because this verse always comes to my mind when I'm get into this couple of verses. If you don't know where Jude is, it's the one chapter book right before Revelation. But let's start from verse 17. He says, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual or fleshly, carnal, having not the Spirit. But you," he's telling you, here's what you do. You don't become carnal. You don't be sensual. You don't separate yourselves from that which is holy and spiritual. He says, "You, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." So you need to be building your faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. That's tongues, by the way. He says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." Do you hear that? You build your faith. You stay strong. You don't go after ungodly lusts like the others do. You build up your faith. You pray in the Holy Ghost. You pray in the Holy Spirit so that you'll be able to discern the people you're around, whether they need compassion at that moment or they need the fear of God put in them. Now, in the last few weeks, I've been talking about the scary verses, right? Well, let me give you some of the good verses, because he talks here about the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you see that in verse 21? Keep yourselves in the love of God. Now, what does that mean? Keep yourselves in right relationship with the Lord, but also keep yourselves walking in love of God for people. And, you know, I don't talk much about this, but it's important. And what is the first thing it says about love? Love is patient. Patience. Patience with people. I have to be patient. I have to be patient because I get some crazy stuff coming my way. I get some crazy people coming my way. But I know people, whether even if they're a full-blown enemy, Satanist, infiltrator, plant, deep state agent, I've had them all come and hang out in church with us. But you still, we're told to love our enemies. And first part of that is to be patient. To be patient, to be kind even to our enemies. Now, yes, there comes a time to confront problems and deal with these individuals, and I do. But he says, keep yourselves in the love of God. And this is important because there's a lot of people, they may even have a really rough outside, but you don't know what kind of hell they've had to walk through in their lives. I know my wife, she was the CEO of a pregnancy resource center. That's a ministry that tries to prevent women from having abortions, counsel them, encourage them. I think you guys started doing what ultrasounds in the clinic as well to show women their baby was alive. And, of course, that's a good thing. That usually stops a lot of women from going through with the abortion. But she used to go into churches, all different denominations, and talk about, you know, her testimony of having an abortion and what it did to her. She said, "You would not believe the women in churches, Christian women, who would come up and finally, for the first time, confess that they had had an abortion to her and finally start the process of getting healed and delivered from that, all that brings. But just like I remember she told me, you wouldn't look out there and go, yeah, that one's had an abortion and this one hasn't. It's one in three. Is that Christian women or just women? One in three women have had an abortion by the time they're 45. That's unbelievable in America. And a lot of that's hidden. And, you know, I thank God that there are women that step forward to tell the truth about what it did to them spiritually, emotionally, mentally, even physically. There are physical problems that linger because it is a sin. It is murder. And, boy, there's a lot of baggage that comes. There's a lot of demonic baggage that comes with that. And, you know, maybe I'm speaking about this for a reason this morning, because one of the first steps to get free from anything is you need to talk about it. You need to confess it. That's why James chapter 5 says we should confess our faults one to another and pray one for another that we may be healed. Because there's a lot of spiritual and emotional wounds in people that need to be healed. And can I say this? The body of Christ is supposed to be the healers. We're supposed to get healed in Jesus' name, and then we're supposed to help heal other people. And that's not just physical healing. Jesus said he came to heal what? The brokenhearted. Those who are bruised or traumatized. In fact, he said, I'm anointed to do that. And then he gave his disciples the same anointing. Now you go do it. You go lay hands on the sick. You go heal the brokenhearted. You go preach the gospel to the poor. You go set at liberty those who are bruised. But what do you need to do that? Jesus didn't do any of that until he was what? Full of the Holy Spirit, anointed, empowered by the Holy Spirit. This is why Jude says, what? Keep yourselves in the love of God, building up your faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So you will be able to discern what people need. This is so, so vitally important. Let's go to the book of Titus. Just some of the testimonies. I mean, Lord, the testimony we got from one lady that was at Skyfall last year. I don't know if she's coming this year or not, but just, I would never have imagined what this lady suffered through. Satanic, ritualistic abuse that went on for years. The fact that she can even function in society is a testimony to the power and the love and the mercy of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, what is mercy? You want me to give you the definition of mercy? Because everybody gets them wrong. Okay, the worst definition ever. Grace is not unmerited favor. I don't know where that came from, but that's not the definition of it. Never has been, never will be. If you look it up in the Greek dictionaries, grace is basically God's spirit and power that comes upon you to be able to do something. Okay? Grace is power. Matter of fact, the Holy Spirit, another name for the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Grace. I've talked about that before. Mercy is what we're really looking for when we talk about undeserved kindness, undeserved favor, undeserved forgiveness, undeserved blessing. We are saved. Let me tell you right now, anybody that's in this room or watching me that's truly awake, that's truly born again by faith in the blood of Jesus, and you've truly been filled with the Holy Spirit, and you truly know that you're saved, and you're knower, you know that you're saved. Right? I want to tell you right now that you are saved because of his mercy. It was his mercy. It was undeserved. You didn't earn it. You can't ever earn it. You don't clean yourself up first and then get it. You don't do some good work and get it. Salvation I'm talking about from Jesus. Your sins forgiven. It is mercy because all of us were blind. What is 2 Corinthians? what is it, chapter 3 or 4? Which one am I in there? I think it's 3. Where he says, if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So we were all deceived. We were all blinded. We were all sinners. We were all rebels. We were all enemies of God by our very nature. And God, in his mercy, began to convict us, speak to us, draw us, open our eyes. And yes, he used other people to pray for us, and he used other people to talk to us, but it's still all by his mercy and the moving of his Spirit, period. And Titus says it as plainly as you can say it. Paul said it to Titus here, and let's turn to Titus. I guess I need to turn there. Chapter 3. Now, this scripture was on my mind this morning and yesterday, this passage, I should say. And this is what it says. Let's read from verse 1, chapter 3, verse 1. Paul tells the young pastor, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, that's authorities, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. So, again, not giving us a cop-out to do evil. We don't have a license to sin or do whatever we want. He says, speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Why? For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. You see that? Disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Everybody see that? You will never be good enough apart from Jesus to get saved by doing some list of good works. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. Everybody see that? According to, wait a minute, shouldn't it say according to his grace? No. According to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he has shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Did you see that? Let's go back to verse 5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but by his mercy. What is the definition of mercy again? Undeserved kindness, favor, forgiveness. Now, what's beautiful about God and about the gospel is that this offer is to everyone. I know the Calvinists don't believe that, but they follow a murderer. They follow a man that burned people at the stake. So anybody that follows somebody that burned, listen, if I burned one of my dogs at the stake, nobody would come to church ever again, right? But John Calvin burned human beings at the stake for theological disagreements. Yet most churches adhere to at least some points of Calvinism today. Why people follow John Calvin, I don't know. But they say, of course, John Calvin says that Jesus didn't die for everyone. He just died for those who are chosen, the elect. No. The Apostle John said in 1 John that he is the propitiation. Speaking of Jesus, is the sacrifice, the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, talking about believers, but for all those. The provision has been made for everyone. Whosoever will may come. What blocks them? Their own choices, desires and demonic, satanic blindness. But the offer is there. And you have free will to choose one way or the other. Now, granted, Satan and demonic spirits interfere with people and hinder people from making the right choice. And that's why we pray for people. That's why we fast. That's why we preach and teach to try to break through to people who are being hindered by Satan. But still, for those of us who have come into the light, into the truth of God's word, it's not because we were good. It's not because we didn't clean up ourselves and then do it. In fact, there's nothing you can do to cleanse your sin away. Apart from going to Jesus, apart from receiving Him and believing who He is and what He has done, that's it. That's why there's a lot of people right now, look, there's a lot of people think, especially rich folks, well, I'm going to give a lot of my money to charity, and I'm going to try to do good and help people, and that's all wonderful. That's great. Nothing wrong with good works. Nothing wrong with charity. Nothing wrong with giving. Nothing wrong with helping people. But let me just tell you, sir, that will not save your soul. It will not wash your sins away. It will not make you right with God. It will not make you prepared for eternal life. I mean, think about it. There's nothing, us trying to wash ourselves up and then go say, see, God, I washed myself up, so I'm good now, right? And He's going to go, no. Why didn't you just come to me and let me wash you up? Just come to me, believe in me, trust me, and I'll wash you. Why do you think Jesus, I believe Jesus, the reason He took the towel and the basin and we washed His disciples' feet wasn't just to show them humility. That's what we all think of, right, first, is that He was just demonstrating humility as the leader to do that. No, He said, if I wash you, your feet, you're completely clean. Oh, my. What was He teaching them? It's me. It's me. If I wash you, it's going to be done right. You can't wash yourself up. And even as a Christian, if you're struggling with sin, and we're all going to struggle at times with the flesh and with sin, you got to stop and think. You can easily shift into trusting yourself and your strength and your own determination and your own will instead of just throwing yourself down and say, God, please wash me, forgive me, cleanse me, help me. I need mercy and grace. I need your mercy, your grace, your cleansing. I need that all the time. Don't ever let the devil shift your faith and your trust from the blood of Jesus and His work to your work. Don't. And again, I'm not saying we don't have things we need to do as Christians. But if you start trusting what you do, that's where pride comes in. Remember the Pharisee, the prideful one that went up to pray? He said, I thank God, what? I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. I thank you, God. I'm not like this one over here. This is where you get into if you start trusting your works. You start getting into this, well, I'm better than that guy over there. And then Paul said, once we start comparing ourselves among ourselves, we are not wise. There is none good, no, not one. I can't remember now if it's David or Solomon said, man in his best state is altogether vanity. We are nothing but a ball of clay that God breathed life into, and one day it's going to end. And we're all the same, no matter what color, no matter what nationality or tribe, or gender. We are all one. We are all made of the same material. And we all have the life, the breath of God. That's why we're living and breathing. And we all need one Savior, one Redeemer. There's only one. It's not Buddha. It's not Krishna. It's not Vishnu or Muhammad. Or the one that's coming, the fifth Buddha, the Batsuva, the, what is it? The, what do they call him? I can't remember the other name now. Yeah, all of them. The Mahdi. No, it's Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Not the Jesus of the Quran, the Jesus of the Bible. You hear me? He's the only one that can wash your sins away. He's the only one that can give you eternal life. He's the only one that can make you righteous, justified, holy, cleansed. He's the only one that can take your sins and truly wash them away. And so the moment you start trusting in your own abilities, in your own good works, and maybe, hey, maybe you're having a season where you're doing good. That's a dangerous one. That's a dangerous time. I remember when the Lord told one of my old pastors, he told him, he said, I'm about to give you the most dangerous thing I can give you. And my pastor said, well, what is that, Lord? And he used to have these conversations. He was his gift was hearing God's voice. He was amazing. But he said, well, what is it, Lord? What are you about to give me? It's more dangerous than anything else. He said, success. He said, everything you touch is gonna work. Everything you do is gonna work. And you know what? It ended up taking him down. Even though he was warned. I would love to have everything go right, everything I touch and everything I do work perfectly. No, you'd become a spoiled little brat, right? Think about the parents that give their children everything they want. I want that. I want that golden egg. I want the goose. We know what happened to Veruca, right? That's one thing about it. All those kids were brats in Willy Wonka, weren't they? Parents, oh, yes, write a check. I'll get it for you immediately. That's why we wonder why God answers some of our prayers and some he doesn't. Because we'd be spoiled, rotten little brats. And, you know, he allows trials and he allows suffering and he allows difficulty because those are the things that we should allow those things to drive us to him. We should allow those things to make us admit, I'm nothing. I'm no better than any other person. I'm just as weak and susceptible to any temptation or depression or unbelief or fear or whatever. Hey, look, it's wonderful when we ride in the mountaintops, but we're going to go through some valleys. I watched a video of our troops the other day in Afghanistan. This was a stupid mission. But they sent them through a valley to see if the Taliban had taken over the mountaintops. And it was bad. And in warfare, you can't give your enemy high ground on two sides. So let's go see. But you know the thing about God is, what did he say? What did he give us through Psalm 23? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because why? Thou art with me. As Christians, we have to go through those valleys, and sometimes we get to go on the mountain. Sometimes we get to ride on the clouds. I remember that old song we used to sing, He Rides on the Water. He rides on the clouds. Sometimes we get to ride with him. And there's nothing better. Let me tell you something. There's nothing better in this life, nor will there be anything in the afterlife better than the presence of God. Experiencing that, knowing that peace, that power, that joy, that strength that comes only from His presence. Well, can I say this? You don't get that by trusting in your own ability. Because which one got forgiveness between the Pharisee and the publican? And what was the publican saying? Have mercy on me, a sinner. I mean, you know, we got people in the church world that think they don't sin. You know that? There's a whole group of them out there. They think they don't sin. And then I think, well, they hadn't read 1 John, right? He that saith, I have no sin, is a liar. The truth is not in him. No, we're all going to struggle. I'll be glad. You know, this is why Paul talked about the day was going to be such a joyful and wonderful day when we got to take off the body of this death, this Adam suit, and put on a body like his that knows no sin, never knew any sin, and never will. One day we're going to be free, completely free. Free from all the darkness and the evil. Because, you know, what did Paul say? He said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. I see this war going on in my members. He said, with my mind I want to do what's right. I want to serve God. But with my body always wants to sin. And when I want to do good, evil is always present with me. And let me tell you something. I hate this state that we're in. I've been criticized because I said I want to be with Jesus. That I'm actually looking forward to the day that I'm free from the body of this death, from this fleshly nature, that I'm free from having to be tormented and attacked by demons and devils and witchcraft and crazy Christians who don't know the Bible. It's going to be wonderful. When the day the Lord wipes all tears from our eyes, there'll be no more crying, there'll be no more pain, there'll be no more death. Who wouldn't look for it? The Bible talked about Abraham. Abraham looked for that day. He knew this wasn't the end of the road. Keith Green, I remember him saying, living down here compared to living with the Lord in heaven, it's like living down here is like living in a trash can. I think about this world filled with pedophiles and murderers and liars and thieves that make and all this sin that makes other people suffer. Y'all think this is good? We have people that believe the nonsense of preterism that think, that Jesus came in 70 A.D. and every prophecy was fulfilled in 70 A.D. and we're in the millennial reign. This is the kind of psychotic doctrines that are out there. If this is the millennial reign and Satan is bound, we're in big trouble. I know exactly, right? What are we in now? I thought the Bible said after the 1,000 years we get a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. That's not where we are right now, right? Now, granted, I want us to do, Christians ought to do the best job we can down here. We ought to occupy till he comes. We ought to be about trying to help others and live righteous and be a good witness. But again, I've said there's two different, I've talked about this over the last couple of weeks. There's two different kinds. Either you decide the good works you're going to do, or you let the Holy Spirit tell you and lead you what you're going to do. And the power is always going to be the power and the presence of God, the anointing of God, the miracles of God are always going to be behind what He tells you to do, what He leads you to do. The sons and daughters of God are led by the Spirit of God, not their own ideas. I'm serious. So, well, Pastor Dean, how do you do it? Listen, your number one priority should be, I'm going to pray and fast and study my Bible and meditate in the Word of God so that I can be strong in faith and hearing the Holy Spirit, what He's saying to do. This is what we're supposed to do as Christians. And some of you out there still listening, I know none of you in here are what I'm about to say. But I can tell you this, is that God wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And part of being filled with the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is what the Bible says it is, not what a denomination or Bible school says it is. And the Bible says being baptized in the Holy Spirit comes with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. It comes with that first, and then the other gifts of the Spirit begin to work in your life too. If you're a Christian and the gifts of the Spirit are not working in your life, it's time to get serious about it. Because that is God's will for your life. It is God's will for you to be led by, filled, led, and overflowing with His Spirit. God wants you to operate in the tongues and interpretation of tongues, prophecy, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, gifts of healing and working of miracles, discerning of spirits, the gift of faith. Who was it that said it? Was it Moses or Joshua? Somebody help me. He said, I would to God that all of God's people were prophets. Was it Moses? Would to God that all of His people were prophets. But what did God promise us? Acts 2, Jeremiah 2, Joel 2. So God said, in the last days, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And we got entire denominations and pastors out there saying, the gifts of the Spirit are done away with. And yet, here the Bible says, nope, it's all the way to the end. It's for the last days. Jesus said, what? These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. Oh, that doesn't mean you go out and learn Chinese. New tongues. You know what new means there in the Greek? Never before having been existed. Tongues of men and of angels. Unknown tongues. Guess what unknown means? Unknown. Because we got people all the time, that just means you learned a language and became a missionary. No, it doesn't. No, supernatural tongues. If you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. But why I believe God put the tongues issue in there? Just to be a stumbling block to those who think they're wise. You got to become like a child to enter the kingdom. And what did he say, the kingdom? The kingdom is not in word only. This is 1 Corinthians 4:20. The kingdom is not in word only, but in power. Question, do you have any power in your life? The gifts work in your life. If not, it's not to condemn you. You don't have to speak in tongues to be saved. You don't have to operate in the gifts to be saved. But I'm going to tell you one thing. It'll sure help you to not get lukewarm. Because if you're hungry for the Spirit of God to work in your life and to work through you, you're going to be those who tend to not become lukewarm. Because those hungry for God to work through them and to flow through them by His Spirit understand that sin quenches that. Sin quenches the Holy Spirit, grieves the Holy Spirit. So you don't want to do it. You don't want to do anything that would stop His work and flow through you. And let me tell you, you guys are about to witness. Y'all think you've seen the gifts flow through me at times. If you're coming to Skyfall, you're about to see a man who flows in it. I wish I I just flowed in the gifts like he does. But, of course, he's been preaching and teaching and ministering longer than I've been alive. And I'm 52. That's a long time. But you're going to see the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom and the discerning of spirits and the gift of prophecy. Oh, you're going to see it at Skyfall. But we should all want to be that way. I want to be more like him. I want to be more like Gene. I remember after he ordained me in 1999 and laid hands on me and ordained me, and I went to the island of Mauritius. Let me tell you something. That time period, the anointing gets on you. I operated in the gifts of the Spirit like never before. In fact, it was freaking me out. I remember a young man, I was preaching in the city of Tamarine, Mauritius. And if y'all don't know where Mauritius is, it's a little island out in the Indian Ocean. It's about 1,500 miles east of Madagascar, a little tiny little island. And I'm preaching in Tamarine, and I saw this. The church room only seated about 100, and there was 120 more people in there. It was packed. And there they always had the windows and the doors were open, and there were stairs because it was like an upper room, so there were stairs coming up. And I remember I've been preaching. You know what I was preaching on? I won't forget it, because this was in August of 2000. I remember preaching on the seven ways you hear the voice of God, about hearing God. I remember this young man walked up the stairs. He was way late. The meeting was, you know, halfway over. Walks in with an attitude and a motorcycle helmet. And the Holy Spirit comes on. I said, you, with the motorcycle helmet, you are playing games with God. You are more concerned with your business and making money than you are with following God and doing what's right. You're playing. You're in and out of the world, in and out of sin. You come to church. I never met this kid. And I said, the Lord wants me to tell you that your time's running out. Pastor came up to me. He's like, you nailed that child right there. He said he started a new business. It's going well. He's running with, you know, he's making money. He's running with the ladies. He pops in church once in a while. He thinks he's okay. I was like, well, but that kind of stuff should be happening through all of us all the time. Say, Pastor Dean, that doesn't sound right. Oh, really? I think the Bible says to covet the gifts. And what does he say? Why does he say it? 1 Corinthians 14, why does he say? He says, so you can expose the secrets in people's hearts and they will say, God is in you of the truth. People need, you know what I think about Jesus with the woman at the well? That was not an accident. You understand, Jesus told them, I must go this way. They were like, no, Master, we need to go another way. No, I got to go through Samaria. What? No, Jesus, and when he's sitting there talking to the woman at the well, when he's sitting there, he says this to her, if you knew the gift of God. But what does Jesus do? He talks to her about living water. You know what? I have living water to give you. And this woman says, well, you know, Jesus finally said, go get your husband, right? She goes, I don't have a husband. And here comes the word of knowledge, the supernatural. That's right. You don't have a husband. You've had five, and the one you're living with now is not your husband. But what was Jesus doing there? Was he trying to condemn her? Mm-mm. Because he was saying, if you knew the gift of God, I came here today to meet with you. That's what it was about, just for her, that day, to explain to her the mercy of God. Think about that. She got to talk with the Messiah that day. Well, we know when Messiah comes, he will tell us all things. People say, You know, there's a bunch of idiots out there that say Jesus never said he was the Messiah. And he said, yeah, I'm the one. I that speak to you, I am he. But what shook her? You know, she went back and forth about religion, arguing about religion. But when he exposed her secrets of her heart, when he told her her life story in a moment, a man she had never met, she'd never been around, that's when she goes, you're the Christ. And she went in, let me tell you, somebody like that gets excited. She went and told all everybody in the town. But see, that's what I'm talking about. We're supposed to be a Holy Spirit-led, a Holy Spirit-filled people. And after you come to Jesus, by faith, through his mercy, you trust his work on the cross. It's the same for the rest of it. I don't deserve to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't deserve to have the gifts of the Spirit. I tell the Lord sometimes, I don't feel worthy to preach and teach and be in front of people. Why, God, do you pick? Why did you pick this way to do it? Why do you pick flawed people to teach and lead other flawed people? Why do we have this system that we have? I don't know, but it's the way he said to do it, right? He said he would ordain apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to edify the body for the work of the ministry, to hopefully bring us into the unity of the faith. But God's chosen that way to do it. But let me just tell you, nobody goes, if anybody's thinking, you know, well, I guess we got some. Because, you know, we got preachers now that got to have, you know, an entourage of bodyguards and somebody carrying their briefcase for them. Now, I'll say this. I would never demand that done, but let me tell you. You go to Africa, they treat you like a king. I don't care if you're a pauper. They will not let you carry your briefcase. They will not, you know, let you get mobbed. They treat you good. But I'm just saying, we got preachers that think that they're up here above everybody else. No. Preacher better be on his face going, I know I don't deserve to be leading anybody. I tell the Lord all the time, I'm just as messed up as any of them. Why you got me up here? But let me tell you, if I walk away from it, I'm going to be in the belly of a fish real quick. Really quick. I've been there a few times. I don't want to be there. I know what Jonah said, it was hell. He was in the belly of hell, not a fish. Because when you're called to do something, what did Paul say? He said, woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. Woe is me. Build yourself up. Pray in the Holy Spirit. I wouldn't be able. People say, Pastor Dean, how do you preach? You know, like this week, I'm going to be preaching about four times. How do you do that? I pray in tongues a lot. I pray in the Spirit a lot. Sometimes I get down to pray and I've prayed out all my English. I don't know what else. I say sometimes, Lord, I don't know what else to say. And then I've been going through this warfare. Lord, I don't know what to preach. I don't know what you want me to say. I'm praying, but I'm not getting it. And it's like, just trust me. You'll know. But none of us are good. Let's just get that out of the way. Nobody's good. Nobody can clean themselves up. Nobody's perfect. No Christian is sinless. But there's one that can clean us up. There's one who washes us. There's one who's done the work. And there's one who wants us to be filled and overflowing with his Spirit. Now that part, let me tell you, just like being saved is a choice, being Holy Spirit filled, Holy Spirit led, Holy Spirit empowered is a choice. You have to want it. And I'll tell you something else. You won't flow in it either unless you fast. You hear me? You won't flow in it unless you earnestly desire and covet the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Some people say, well, I've been in the church a long time. Well, you know, you're supposed to want the giver, not the gift. Oh, God. It's like Christian cliches. No, let me tell you. You know why I want the gifts? Because if I flow in the gifts, then someone else might come to know the giver. You hear me? I don't want it for me. I don't need that. I already know him. I want it so someone else will know he is the true and living Savior, the true God, the creator of heaven and earth, that he knows the secrets of their hearts, that he knows where they're wounded and hurt, that he knows where they're sinning and rebelling, that he knows, but he still loves them and wants them to come. See, that's the beautiful thing. Romans, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us when he knew everything we were going to do before we did it. For God so loved the world that he gave. We forget sometimes. I preach hard. Maybe sometimes I make y'all forget that he does love us. Because I preach the other side. Because the other side's not talked about very much. The scary verses. But there's scary verses and there's good verses. The good verses is he loves us. He wants us to be saved. He wants us to be forgiven. He's not willing that any perish. He doesn't want anyone to go to hell. He just wants us to repent, humble ourselves, and admit our sin and turn to him and say, Lord Jesus, give me your mercy. Wash me and cleanse me in the blood you shed on the cross. And then raise me up in the power of your resurrection. I want to know you. I want to hear you. I want to walk with you. I want to flow in the Holy Spirit. I want to be a real Christian. I want to be a New Testament Christian. We got enough dead ones. We got churches in Montgomery calling themselves the Frozen Chosen. Who in their right mind is a Christian? I'm not joking you. I could say the church and I could say the man that said it. Everybody would know him if you're from Montgomery area. He was in the state legislature, actually. Hey, yeah, our church, the Presbyterians over here, we're the chosen frozen. I was like, okay. That's what Faith said the other day. Or was it you or Mom? Somebody said it. At least they admit they're cold. Yeah, well, Christians are supposed to have the fire of the Holy Ghost in them that they don't quench. The problem is what we have is these churches like this are a form of godliness that deny the power thereof. 1 Timothy 3:5. From such, turn away. I still don't understand the Christians that are in these churches. I really don't. Because it said to leave that nonsense. If they don't believe in speaking in tongues and casting out demons, healing the sick, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they don't believe this book. I'm sorry. But they don't believe it. They're deceived. I know I make people mad when I say that. But I'm equal opportunity. I'm not just against one denomination. I'm against all of them. There's one church. There's one gospel message. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Holy Spirit. And he's got his gifts. And so it doesn't matter what you try to call yourself. Do you know him? Do you walk with him? Do you obey him? Do you flow in the Holy Spirit? Do you have his gifts working through you? Do you lead others to Jesus Christ, to true repentance and salvation? Do you see the brokenhearted healed? See, this is what I'm saying this because, folks, I want our church, I want Fire and Grace Church to be encouraged this morning. our prayers all these years, it's been 12 years. And yes, we're still a small church, but remember the Lord told me in 2000, we started in 2009. In 2010, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said to me, your church is, you're the five loaves and the two fish. I mean, we ain't nothing but a little bitty lunch basket. And the Lord said, but I'm going to use you to feed thousands of people. And I knew it was going to be the Lord. This is before we even broadcasted the first YouTube or Facebook or Periscope was one of the first. We didn't even know about that. I think we had one YouTube video, and that was difficult to do. And the Lord was like, I'm going to take your little bitty five loaves and two fish, and I'm going to multiply it. And I'm going to. And folks, let me tell you, I get the testimonies. Our Wednesday night prayer meeting. Sometimes our Wednesday night prayer meetings are dry as bone. And I just want to go home. Right? But I remember what my old pastor used to say about prayer meetings. Sometimes you're digging holes, and other times you're setting poles, and other times you're stringing wire, and then finally you make the connection. But I can tell you this, when you meet and pray in faith, I'm getting the testimonies. People saying, I was watching your service, and the Holy Spirit hit me, and I couldn't stop crying. You see what I'm saying? We've had two testimonies. The day my wife obeyed the Lord and came up here and shared the word she had, and she was in tears. And let me just say this. My wife rarely ever cries. I used to call her the cyborg because she had no emotions. Okay? She's that thing. Zoom, 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 zoom. Battlestar Galactica. And God has so worked on her, though. But when you see, if you see my wife crying, tearing up, it's God. Trust me. She's not an emotional crybaby like a lot of females are, all right? Oh, oh. But she needed to get that way. She needed to get softer because she was like, snap out of it, get right. The joke around here, you don't know yet, is that she's fire and I'm grace. Imagine that, right? But when she came up, we've had people say when your wife came up and shared that word. And what was the word about again? It was basically there's people need to stop playing. There's not enough. Time's running out. And there's too many people still, you know, sinning and living lukewarm and not serious about God. And there were people out there said that was the day the Holy Spirit touched me and I knew I could get my life right with God. Simply because she obeyed that. The Holy Spirit moved through that. But folks, when we pray in this place, whether we feel like it's dry as bones, difficult. Sometimes prayer feels like work, doesn't it? Oh, imagine that. Huh? Your faith has to be that you're not wasting your time, that God is hearing and God is moving before you see it. Faith is believing it before you see it, yeah? And I'm going to tell you, how many people are coming? We got over 300 coming? In the midst of COVID, 300 people are showing up, plus from all over the country. And I know most of our international people couldn't come. But praise God. But think about that. People, why are they coming? Why are they going through all this? Because the last 3 years, the presence of God has been in that place. God has moved. God has touched people. People have been healed. We're going to have a testimony of someone dramatically healed from last year. Dramatically healed. One of the testimonies that came forth, I just shared this for you. You hadn't heard this. But Skyfall last year, we had a deliverance service. And at some point, I don't know, but I pointed over in this direction. And we had the room filled with people. And I just pointed over and I said, in this section over here, there's somebody who's been struggling with homosexuality their entire life. And the Lord's going to set you free today. He's going to heal you today because you don't want that in your life. The guy later testified during his baptism, because he got baptized on Sunday night. He said, Pastor Dean, your hand was splitting me in half. He said, well, you weren't just pointing to the section. You were pointing at me. But he confessed that sin publicly and repented. Powerful. This is why we need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is why we need the power of God. And I want to encourage everybody in here, those of you watching, listening, even if you can't make it to the Skyfall, please be praying. Some of you can, if you can't come, or some of you who are going to come and not able to make it, sit down and pray during Friday and Saturday. Pray for people that are coming that need to be saved or healed or delivered or encouraged. You know, a lot of people just need to be encouraged. They need to be refreshed in the Lord. They need to feel like there's hope. There's a lot of people, their churches have shut down. They can't even go to their church because the church is scared of a disease that 99.9% of people are recovering from. And then we got Pentecostal spirit-filled churches that say they believe in healing, scared to death to have a church service. And thinking a mask is going to... When show me in here where Christians are supposed to be scared of anything. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Fear not. Fear not. Don't be afraid. How many times does God say that? And listen, the 365 thing's not true. So just know that. That's been passed around the church world too. No. That fear not or be not afraid is in the Bible 365. No, it's not. All right. One of those things that gets passed around, but it's in there a lot, and that's good enough. Don't be afraid. Listen, and I'm going to talk about this. I think I do know what I'm supposed to do, at least the first service I'm doing at Skyfall. But just know this: far worse things are coming than COVID, y'all. Far worse persecution, far worse problems and attacks and things in this world. And the Lord's spoken to me, the biological and chemical attacks are going to come. I believe nuclear attacks are going to come. I believe foreign invasion is going to come to America, and I'm going to talk about some of those things that God's spoken to me over the years. But in the midst of all that, God promised that he would arise upon his people. God promised that many would be turned to righteousness during that time. But if COVID causes us to shut the church down, what are we going to do when they break out the guillotines? I'm going to be scared of dying of COVID. Am I going to be scared of a guillotine? Am I going to run away and hide? Yeah. No. I ain't running, as we would say in Alabama. You know, ain't's now a word, though. It's in the dictionary. I ain't running. Bugs Bunny said it years ago. I ain't moving, and you can't make me move, Smarty Pants. No. That's right. You got to make up your mind. What did God say to the Israelites when they were obeying him? Through Joshua, said, "Your foot, I will not suffer your foot to be moved." God has spoken that word to me. I have seen a vision. I saw it in 2013 or 14, sometime back then. But I saw a vision of a predator drone headed to my house. I saw it playing out like a movie. I was wide, and it was a vision. I was wide awake. And I saw a predator drone flying toward my house to destroy it with a missile. And I saw a hand come out of heaven, big old hand, bigger than the drone, and swat it down to the ground like a little fly. This is the God we serve, y'all. If an army comes against you, if they send a division of soldiers to come pick you up, and it's not your time, they're going to turn their weapons on themselves. Or God's just going to have you pass through the midst. Say the food runs out. Listen, no matter, I believe you should prep, but no matter how much prepping you can do, that runs out. Right? I believe the bags of rice are going to come to the last scoop, and we're going to pray, and there'll be another scoop. But you have to believe that. You have to pray for that. I know missionaries. I know a man personally who would pray for food to be multiplied because they would prepare for 500 people and 5,000 people would show up. God, what do? We can't feed all these people. He said, you know what? We just kept dumping rice and beans out of the pot. He just kept. He said, and guess what? He said, we fed all those people for 3 days. There's nothing impossible with God. Nothing. I love one of his sayings. He used to say, I'm not out of my mind, I'm out of your mind. He said, I've just chosen to believe what the book says. And did not Jesus say, John, put it up, John 14:12. Let's put that one up. This is a good one to end on. I'll quit now. You know, y'all know I'm good for two-hour sermons, so. So it's a miracle I only went for like 9.5 minutes or whatever. But this one right here. Jesus said, truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. I believe that. You going to believe that? He that believeth. Guess what that verb tense is there? The Greek verb tense. Can somebody take a guess? Present tense, Greek word. You guys have been paying attention. See, I've taught them for years now. There's three primary verb tenses. Present tense, perfect tense, aorist tense in the Greek language. The present tense Greek verb is ongoing, continuous action, taking place in the present. So this is for all time. When Jesus said, he that believeth, it's for all time, for everyone. So, believe this. I believe in the days ahead, we're going to see. I've seen it in my ministry, y'all. I've seen the deaf hear, the crippled walk, the dead raised. I've seen these things happen. A lot of them been many years ago. And healing, it seems, has been difficult over the last few years. It seems like there's been just an atmosphere of unbelief. Or maybe we're just in a different season. But I believe that season's going to change. And that we're going to have a people that believe what God said about it. Not so we can look like superstars. Because for the most part, the days ahead, there ain't going to be any superstars. Because the TV and stuff's going to be cut off from us. And it's already happening. The censorship's already. Christians, patriots, conservatives are already being censored like crazy. So we know when the mark of the beast comes that we're going to be censored. So it's not about being a superstar. It's about helping somebody else. And guess what? If somebody's got some debilitating problem, physical problem, that's causing them a lot of pain or they're just not able to do, and they get healed, not only are they excited about Jesus, but then they are able to do more for Jesus. You hear me? So if that's what it's really about. You know, we've had enough superstars in the healing ministry, right? We see where that ends up. The superstars always crash. It's always a crash and burn. And maybe it's because God allows it, not just because of their pride or their issues. Maybe it's just because God doesn't want his people putting someone that high on a pedestal. So God lets them fall or make a big mistake or do something wrong. And so we'll get our eyes off the superstar and back on Jesus and the Word of God and us doing it. Not them, not looking at them, go, ooh, look at them do it. Us, the body. Let's stand. Do you have let's do that Lyndall Cooley song before we go. Send Your Glory. I don't know if that's the name of it. Is that the name? You know, that one. Come on. Y'all should be able to read me by now. Because this is going to be our prayer today for the rest of the week. Lord, send your glory. Right? I think it's healing in your glory. Yeah. That's a good word. Well, we're going to worship to this song. If you need prayer today, I'm going to say this song's about 7 minutes long, and if we need to restart it, we will. But if you need prayer today for healing or anything you want to pray, come on up, and we'll pray for you before we leave. We're not in a hurry. All right? Go ahead.
In your glory, healing in your glory, there's healing in your glory, healing in your glory.
It's joy.
about one more short one? Zach Williams, Revival. All right. Here we go. It's short, but sweet.
Your strength that found me at my weakest. Your grace poured out in my despair. When I feel lifeless, tired, burned out and defeated, your perfect love will find me there. You called my name and you made.
Broadcasting. All right. I want to let everybody know this. Just so you know, Wednesday night, prayer, 7:30 here at 7:30 Central Time. We will have Wednesday night prayer, and of course, we're going to have a number of people will be coming in to pray. So the Wednesday night prayer meetings before Skyfall have been wonderful, so I encourage you to be here if you can. 7:30 Central Time here at the church, Fire and Grace Church, 200 Second Avenue. That's Wednesday for prayer. Then Thursday, we have the picnic and pre-registration at what is West Ridge Park. And what time? That's 12? 12 Central Time to 3, right? And 1 to 4 Eastern. So that's just down the road from the church, not far away at all, West Ridge. You remember the address? 1600 Covington Avenue. But that's in Opelika. Just look up West Ridge Park in Opelika. Which side are we going to be on? We're going to be on the far right side, I guess, of it. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, well, you'll find it's a big park. So, but you'll find the playground over there. Also, okay, and then Friday morning. We're going to start registration at 7 a.m. Central Time, but 8 a.m. in LaGrange, and the conference starts at 9 o'clock Central, Eastern Time, 8 Central. we're going to have some fun with this, I can tell. But anyway, just letting everybody know, so Friday, full day, Saturday, lunches are catered in if you bought them, of course. If not, yeah, you can still register. We're still having people register because we're having some cancel, but we're having people still registering, so it's kind of balancing out. So you have a few more days. We're going to keep it open for now and just drive them crazy if we are over our number. That's just the way it's going to have to be. But anyway, yeah, if you don't want to stress about lunch, then definitely pick one of the, I think there's, what, three choices on each day? And then Sunday is going to be a buffet. So what's that? Yeah, you got to have your ticket to get your food. So make sure you you do that. But it's all on the website, skyfallconference.org, skyfallconference.org. It's all there, like on the first page. We still have people going, how do I register? Skyfallconference.org, there's a big button there on the first page. It says, register here. And it'll take you to where you need to go. And then it'll give you on the days, which day, if you're going to pick a lunch on one day or both days or all 3 days. So it'll tell you on there, you choose all that. But it's there, all right? And water baptisms will be back here at the church on Sunday night at, what time are we doing that, 7:30? Central Time, 7:30 Central Time. And how many are already registered to be baptized? Eight to ten already going to be baptized. So we're going to have a, so we'd love for people to come because baptism is about having witnesses present. So anybody that can come and stay for the baptisms, please do. But anyway, That's just to give everybody an update that's watching and listening. This is probably your last update you get, so good luck. All right. What are we doing? We'll say bye to them. God bless you guys. Thanks for watching. Glad it went to Facebook and YouTube today like it's supposed to. Did it? Okay. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Well, we'll be dismissed. Y'all have a good Sunday.